It is 23 minutes before 5 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon here on All Points West. Language is vital to connecting communities and to protecting culture. And while many Indigenous languages across Vancouver Island and across the whole country have fallen silent over the centuries, communities are now working tirelessly to revitalize them. Today on All Points West, we are kicking off a brand new series all about Indigenous language. Each week, we will delve into the life of a language on the island. We'll speak to community members and leaders who are working hard to reawaken it. But we are starting with an overview of the island's languages. Glenn Jim is our guide. He is a language revitalization coach for the First Peoples Cultural Council, which is based on the Saanich Peninsula. Hello, Glenn.
Hello there. How are you doing, Catherine?
Series, we're going to use words like sleeping and reawakening to describe the state of the languages. Can you tell us why those are the words that you use?
Well, in the past, scholars, academics, linguists have used the term extinct or dead. And in the case of Vancouver Island, we do have a language that used to be called that. And they're not. There's still alive and functioning communities out there. And the people are still there. The language is sleeping. It's not being used as it once was, but it is not extinct. It is still there. I guess that's pretty well the best way to describe it.
Yeah. But before we go on, can I just ask you, are you on speakerphone?
I am.
Are you able to take it off?
I can.
Awesome. Okay. I know it's less comfortable for you, but it makes it easier for everyone to hear you too.
Okay.
Oh, there. That's much
How's
better.
That?
That's
okay.
Great. Thank
there you.
Go. So tell us about some of the languages that are in the process of being reawakened on the island.
Well, there's a number of languages that are being reawakened. You know, we do have one, as you mentioned, regards that are sleeping. But the language on Vancouver Island, there's like six main languages with a number of dialects within all of them. You know, there's the West Coast Nechanos languages, and there's three dialects within them. Here on the peninsula, we speak the Senchothan language, which is closely related to the languages in and around Victoria and Western communities as well. As you move further up island, you know, you have the Halkobetnam language, which starts roughly south of Cowichan, all the way up to Nanaimo, as you know it. And that particular language carries on across to the Lower Mainland and the Fraser Valley, but with slight variations in dialect. So it's quite diverse, you know, just as the peoples are diverse. The languages are just as diverse and varied as well.
And you mentioned that there is one language that is currently sleeping. What's that?
That is the Pentlatch language. And their territory probably begins somewhere around Qualicum, south of Qualicum, and works its way up through to around Courtney Comox in the traditional sense.
So is there anyone who currently speaks that language?
No, actually, the last, and depending on who you're speaking with, the last living person was, passed in the 1940s or so. And so there is documentation of the language. You know, academics and anthropologists did document the language, from the 1860s and 70s up through the early part of the last century. But there's not a lot of it. And in some cases, it's in different languages other than English in the sense of the individuals that wrote those notes.
So do you think that is a language that could eventually be awake, be spoken?
The communities, they're definitely going to try. I have faith in that they can bring back a good part of the language, yes.
So you are a language revitalization coach. What does that mean? How do you support people to teach these languages when a lot of the people who are teaching them are kind of learning them at the same time, right?
Yeah, I'm not a fluent speaker myself. I'll put that right out. Okay. I know a lot of my Senchothan language. I know words. Phrases are challenging for me to use. I'm language aware, I guess, is one way to put it. You know, I know the orthography. I understand understand more than I can speak. So that makes, you know, a language person aware, similar to what you would learn in school about French.
Sure.
But I'm not fluent. So with that type of work, I can relate to process. I can do structure. I understand my culture in terms of traditional planning processes when we plan events and do things that way. So I'm quite familiar with those processes. So when I work with communities, I work with them from a cultural standing. Okay, what do you do for planning from a cultural point of view? And if in many cases, you know, due to a lot of things, some of those practices aren't known. So we offer a more academic, bureaucratic, if you will, but a structured format and a step-by-step type of thing, but definitely with a community input for sure in terms of integrating their own ways of doing things.
What is it like to connect with the different communities who are working to revitalize their language and get to be a part of that?
It's a thrill. It's an honor. You know, I'm proud to do the work that I do, supporting the communities and the individuals taking those steps to revitalize their language. But it isn't just the language that's being revitalized. You may understand the term of cultural context. To use the language, you need the context in which to use it. For many things, whether it's ceremony, whether it's on the land activities, whatever the case may be, those activities, those that part of the people's culture is reawakened and living again. So it isn't just the language, but it's the context in which the language is used is being revitalized just as well.
Because in some of these cases, this is not sort of classroom learning, right? This is going out into the land and working on the language.
Exactly.
Or to the sea.
It's in the context, and it goes back to where the language is going to be used. If it's just everyday normalization of the language to be used every day in every aspect of your life, well, then, of course, you're going to learn the language of cooking, learn the language of child rearing. You're going to learn all these different aspects. And where best to learn those in the actual implementation of those activities, not in the classroom.
What is the goal of language revitalization? Is there a hope that there are communities where one day the indigenous language, the local language, will be the first language and English will be a secondary language?
I can't speak for all the communities, but definitely fluency and whatever that means to the community in terms of how much they want to use it. Do they want it to be their return to their governing language? Do they want the signage in their communities and offices to be in the language as well? You know, they conduct their business in the language, administrative activities to normal everyday living activities. Do they want, and it is the community that's driving the
right
process. And we just give suggestions and maybe a format to do that in.
Is this something that only happens in community? Is there a role for people who live on this island who aren't from here, for non-Indigenous people to play in revitalization?
In many ways, I guess it could. You know, again, learning who your neighbors are, learning that there isn't just a generic First Nations person. That person comes from a community. That person has cultural ties to a land. A specific location. So learning that definitely is a good step. Even so much as even acknowledging, you know, everyone knows what aloha, sayonara. You know, everyone knows that because of media and movies and everything else. Well, why can't that be the same here? And I acknowledge and a shout out to the folks in the Cowichan Valley and Duncan for instituting signage.
Yeah, just recently, I just
saw that, yes. So something like that. You know, even here in on the South Island, if I were to say, you know, these are our places for the Malahat, mm-hmm. Esquimalt, the municipality of Saanich. You know, those learn that it isn't the proper pronunciation. They're anglicized. So, you know, things like that. You know, the community Just to learn, you know, our website for fpcc.ca is a great place to start. We have a map that's available, and they can learn the locations of place names, sites, you know, that are important to us.
Yeah.
So there's lots of little things, you know, just getting to know your neighbor.
Would you teach me how to say hello in Sinkotan?
Sinchothan.
Sinchothan. My apologies.
Sure. Why? Okay, so let's see.
Or something that you think would be a good thing to know. Doesn't
well,
have to be.
just a thank you. How about
okay.
a thank you?
Yeah.
It's Haishka.
Haishka?
Haishka.
Haishka.
Yeah, and you know, you've seen the raised hands. You know, you may have seen video clips of
yeah.
of ceremony and people raise their hands. Or, you know, you've seen the statue at the museum with the hands raised. And that's a symbol of thanks.
Yes.
Or in some cases, you know, just you raise your hands and that's a thanks.
Okay. Well, Glenn, Haishka.
Tim.
Have a good afternoon.
And it's been a pleasure, and thank you for allowing me to share what I know.
We're happy to learn it.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Glenn Jim is a language revitalization coach for the First Peoples Cultural Council. He's based here on the South Island. Stay tuned for more stories about the Indigenous languages of the island. We will highlight one each Wednesday on the show. And if you are listening and you know of a project in your community that you would like to tell us about, we would love to hear us about it. So please send us an email to allpointswest@cbc.ca. 12 minutes now.